Being the homeless whole again. From treatment for medical, dental, and mental health issues to vocational training to child care and housing placement, Chapman Partnership guides the homeless from hopelessness to self-sufficiency, having served over 90,000 people with a success rate upwards of 62%. You can help the homeless with your support for Chapman Partnership. Details at 877-548-6369 or chapmanpartnership.org.
And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, you can hear our jazz contributor, Bob Weinberg, preview a new season of exciting concerts from the not-for-profit South Florida Jazz. Our arts calendar today features Bill Nix, Vice President of the Palm Beach County Cultural Council, with great event suggestions for your consideration. Born in Detroit to a big Irish family and schooled at the prestigious Manhattan School of Music in New York, our guest today, early on in his career, traded Motown and Mozart for merengue and Chopin for cumbia. International Latin music pop star Arthur Hanlon has carved out quite a career that now showcases him on a highly regarded PBS special, Arthur Hanlon and Friends, Encanto del Caribe, airing all over the country. His national and international tour to support the PBS program starts next month, and we are honored to have him back with us today on South Florida Arts Beat. And welcome back to the show, Arthur.
Oh, thanks so much, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Take us back, Arthur, to Detroit when you were growing up as a young kid. You were listening, no doubt, to the music of Motown and fell in love with the piano at a family party?
Actually, it was right around this time of year, a couple days before Christmas. I was 6 years old, and I'll never forget it. These guys come to the door, you know, Mommy, what's that? Oh, it's my father, for a surprise, bought a piano for the family,
wow.
The seven of us. What's a piano, Mommy? Well, you'll see. Half an hour later, a friend of his, a pianist, came, a professional guy. And this guy sat down and started to play. And all my six brothers and sisters were dancing all around the house. And I was just at the piano saying, oh, my God, like looking at it. You know, seeing colors, and that they completely changed my life at 6 years old.
Exciting. What music was going on in the house? What was he playing? Are the Great American Songbook stuff?
He was playing Christmas. It was, you know, Christmas time of year.
Tunes.
So I said, as soon as he left, I, with my finger, I'm done, jingle bells. I have to do this. I was like, I got to learn how to play this thing.
So you took lessons, no doubt, in Detroit, and then got a scholarship to the Manhattan School of Music. Wow. But before we leave Detroit, at an early age, 15, did you tell me, you started working with the Flip Jackson Orchestra? Tell us about that experience. That must have been just so exciting for
you. Yeah, Flip Jackson was an old Motown guy. He was the musical director for the Temptations, and later Eddie Kendricks, you know, the lead singer.
Wow.
And I started playing with him, and then at 17, I was playing 9 to 2 in the morning. and that was an education, I got to tell you, playing in a club 9 to 2. And the band, it was all Motown guys out, you know, it was a black band, and I was the white piano player. Hey, are there anyone? And I learned so much in that time with Flip Jackson, how to improvise, how music is really a conversation between people. And we had a lot of the old Motown guys would come in and check us out and hang out after their gigs. Mm. And it was an education.
I'm sure. And did you meet the Motown greats, the musicians? Who am I thinking of? James Jamerson, the great bassist, and all the wonderful band that backed up everybody on those hits.
Yeah, they were in and out. They'd come in after their gigs, and it was amazing for me as a kid. Flip would say, "Okay, just start, play something." You know, in music school, you got your notes, you have your Mozart, your Chopin, and then Flip with his saxophone, drinking his whiskey. All right, give me a minute, just play whatever, make it up, you know. And I really, that's how I kind of started to improvise a lot. Too.
Was that an awkward transition? Because I detect in many biographies it's awkward to begin to innovate, to improvise.
It's a whole other mindset, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of
to
classical,
free yourself, really.
To free yourself and, okay, play, you know, what do you play, love or play anger or play excitement, you know. When you're Beethoven and Mozart and all the classical guys, that it's in their music, mm-hmm. and Tchaikovsky, whatever, it's in there for the written notes, but to kind of draw that out of you personally, it's a whole other mindset for sure.
Mm-hmm. So a scholarship to Manhattan School of Music, when did you enter there, 17, 18 or so?
Yeah, exactly. I was very young.
And was that a cultural clash for you? I mean, coming from Motown, hearing all the great American pop, and now you're starting to concentrate on your classical experience and your jazz experience. New music to you at that time?
Very new. And, well, the first thing was, you know, coming from Detroit, which is a big town, but not that big musically, you know, Motown's there and everything, and thinking, oh, wow, Arthur, you're really good. And then I got to New York, and walking down the hall of the practice room, I thought, oh, my God, who are these people? I mean, it was a whole other international level, and it was really, you know.
And to be a young kid in that mecca of music, New York City, you discovered the music of Latin greats, Machito and Tito Puente. Tell me about that.
Well, that's what the interesting thing about Manhattan School is, that it's at 125th and Broadway. You know, it's uptown. And I was living there. I was living in Spanish Harlem, you know, which is really close. And, you know, at that time, the Latin music was exploding all over. You know, I'd see Grupo Niche from Colombia, Oscar de Leon from Venezuela, Willie Colon, the New York trombone mm-hmm. player. And it was, as a musician, you know, as a composer, young composer, musician, it was impossible not to be, you know, captivated, for me at least, with all these Latin rhythms that were coming out of the barrio, the neighborhood. You know, the neighborhood I was living was Boricua, you know, Puerto Rican, Colombian, Dominican. And, you know, I started doing gigs at night, really, kind of translating what I was doing in Detroit at night, playing in Motown. I started doing Latin gigs. And according to my mother, I kind of became a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, playing Beethoven and Mozart during the day, and then at night going on and on and playing these Latin rhythms and playing with Latin guys.
What an exciting education, though, I think. You went worldwide from the city of New York, musically speaking. You probably, soaked up so much, so many influences from all these different countries.
Yeah, and you know how New York is, and there's everywhere you went, and as a pianist too, there's so much piano mm-hmm. in Latin music, and all kinds of Latin music, right? Whether it's a bolero or salsa or like bachata too, it's boom, 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 boom. There's all kinds of, you know, piano. I was just drawn to it. It's just like, I want to do the kind of like as a kid again at six, saying I have to learn piano. I want to play piano. Being in New York, I was like, I want to just kind of absorb this Latin music and have it come out kind of in my own kind of, you know, in my own way.
When did you feel secure in doing that?
When did I feel secure?
That it could just flow out of you almost subliminally.
It took a couple of years for sure, mm-hmm. especially learning.
Getting past the technical and into the.
And to be able to play a tumbao. Yeah. That's something you can't learn in Manhattan School of Music or Juilliard or anywhere. You've got to kind of live it. You have to go out and, hey, check it out, you know, the rhythms. And to be able to do that without thinking. You know, that definitely took some time.
So going to school at night or playing gigs was really a great educational area for you, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What I learned in Detroit, you know, half of my musical education in Detroit was playing 9 to 2 in the club with Flip Jackson. In New York, mm-hmm. it was my Latin education was hanging out, mm-hmm. you know, and playing gigs in New York.
Now, your first recording, Global Impressions, combined the music of Ireland and Latin cultures. And describe briefly those musical experiments.
Wow, Global Impressions was an independent album CD I did on my own, just right after school. Gathered all the money I had in the bank and kind of went for it and recorded. And really, it's
no Kickstarter back then.
No, it was. And kind of the essence of my music is in Global Impressions. You know, it's the Ireland contains the music of the Ireland of my grandparents, the music of Spain, which I really love, some Motown blues and jazz that I grew up listening to in Detroit, and of course there's lots of Latin rhythms, which I've kind of, you know, embraced my entire career.
Mm-hmm. So your second release, Encuentros, brought into your repertoire the music of Colombia, or were you onto it before that?
I was into that, you know, but it was the first time I actually recorded some Colombian music. Mm-hmm. So that was an independent label that signed me here in Miami. And after that, I had the fortune to hook up with Fernan Martinez.
Ah.
Who was I had been living in Los Angeles after New York for 6 years, knocking on doors, playing gigs, trying to get signed. No one would sign me. Mm. And then I moved to Miami, and 9 months later, I get signed in L.A.
So, and he was the orchestrator of that?
He was Enrique Iglesias' manager at the time. And then he took me on. He got me signed. He got me started. And it was really cool. He was great for me.
Tell us a little bit more about that process, because that's what musicians are going for, that grand connection with the support mechanism of a record company or something like that, that will propel them forward in their career.
It's for me, it's always got to be, you got to be doing something different, you know.
Mm.
What Fernan sold them on me, okay, this guy's from Detroit, he's playing Latin music. You know, he's a virtuoso or whatever, but besides that, what is he bringing to? He's a composer, and that's important. I think a lot of people, what they end up doing is they hear something on the radio and they say, okay, well, let me try to do that too, to try to make it their own. Mm-hmm. But you have to think, the song you hear on the radio was recorded like probably a year ago. And so for you to record another one, it's going to be another year. So by the time yours comes out, you're like 2 years behind, really.
We're speaking with Arthur Hanlon, and his latest effort is a CD-DVD package called Encanto del Caribe. It's available, of course, on Amazon, iTunes, and a special project with Target, with Targets. And his PBS special is playing all over the country. We'll talk more with Miami's great Latin pop star Arthur Hanlon here on South Florida Arts Beat in just a moment.
It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Great to have you along. The Norton Museum of Art presents Keep Calm and Carry On. You can discover how England's artists, architects and designers rallied to unite a nation when the Norton Museum of Art opens Keep Calm and Carry On, World War II and the British Home Front, 1938 to 1951. On view through January 20th. More information available at norton.org.
Red Barn Theater, 319 Duval Street in Key West, presents Oil City Symphony, an engaging and playful musical directed by Joy Hawkins. You can join four alumni from a high school class of the 1970s at a nutty cornball reunion while they pay tribute to their music teacher. The New York Times says Oil City Symphony is very funny indeed. The show runs December 13th through January 12th. Tickets online at redbarntheater.com or 305-296-9911. Brought to you in part by the Monroe County Tourist Development Council.
For many, a charitable bequest is a unique expression of appreciation. The thoughtfulness of many individual families, like the Levinsons and Fines, has led to planned gifts which help WLRN sustain and grow. Through your will or estate plan, you can name Friends of WLRN as the beneficiary of your estate or a portion of it, providing an enduring legacy of public media for years to come. To learn more about making an impact through planned gifts, call 305-350-7977.
And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. Our guest today, Arthur Hanlon. You're hearing tracks from his latest CD, DVD offering called Encanto del Caribe, available at Amazon, iTunes, and Target. More information at universalmusica.com/Arthur Hanlon, on Facebook at Arthur Hanlon Music. And Arthur, tell us about the production for this magnificent PBS show, Encanto del Caribe. I bet you and your lovely wife, Leila Cobo, were working on it for years.
For a long time. I got to say, as a pianist composer, my dream was always to be able to film a PBS television special, you know, and have guest artists and all that. And so when the opportunity presented itself, yeah, we were really excited. The question was where, you know. We looked in Mexico at the pyramids. We looked here in San Augustine, Florida.
Pyramids, oh my gosh.
Yeah, but then I entered San Cristobal Castle in Puerto Rico. And yeah. I'm like, no, let's do, we got to do it. We got to, it had so much history.
It resonated
500
for you.
Years old. Yeah, the problem was it's a national monument, U.S. Uh-huh. monument. They've never allowed filming before inside.
Really?
So we did a campaign to say, look, this is about, it's a, Encanto del Caribe is more than just a record of Arthur Hamlin. It's a musical celebration of all the Caribbean.
Ah. So now, it's not your first time on PBS. You were featured in Jim Brickman's PBS special, Beautiful World, a couple of years ago, what, around 2009 or so. So, but the various production elements came together for you, obviously, to get this thing done. And then you started pulling the greats from Hispanic music. What was that process like?
That was, well, I've worked as a pianist composer. I've had the honor, really, of working with tons of people. And for mm-hmm. me, it's always a question of chemistry, If there's good chemistry, it's easy. If not, it's not. I've worked with Juanes, Ricardo Montaner, Luis Fonsi, pretty much everyone. So with this record, once we were confirmed, the question was getting people, everyone's traveling, getting everyone there at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Mark was, Mark was somewhere. What did he arrived the night before. Laura Pausini from Italy, she was in Brazil, and she got there half an hour before the concert started, literally. Natalia Jimenez is from Spain. She was in Spain. And we had Bernie Williams on it, too, the great New York Yankee, who's an amazing guitarist. Y Cheofis Liciano from Puerto Rico, and Ana Isabel, too. So kind of the stars in the sky kind of lined up for that one night. And the amazing thing is we finished the concert because it had been raining. Mm. Literally 10 minutes after we stopped playing, it started pouring. And it was an outdoors and everything, and like, oh my God, this was an act of God, I think.
So your blue piano got wet? I hope not.
It did not. We brought it from Miami, sent it by FedEx, and just a couple of drops is all.
I'd like to have heard your conversation with the FedEx folks. I want to ship my piano. Oh yeah, we got a box for that.
Yeah, and they said, that's great. How big is it? Well, it's 9 feet long.
Ooh. Now, tell us a little bit more about the show. With such a wealth of repertoire in Latin classics, how do you pare it down to, say, a dozen or so tunes that you want to perform? Is that done through collaboration with Mark Anthony? And what song might you want to sing, Mark?
It's very personal. Mm. Mark always, we met at the backstage, actually, at the Latin Grammys a couple of years ago. We talked about working together. And then once this opportunity presented itself, the question was, what song? And Mark really wanted to do a song close to his heart. So we chose En Mi Viejo San Juan, which is an anthem for, Puerto Ricans. It's a huge, huge hymn, and it was a really powerful part of the show. And you'll see on the CD and the DVD, everyone's standing up, and there's a children's choir of Puerto Rico singing with Mark, and people are singing along in the audience, and other people crying, and other people dancing. It was really powerful.
Magnificent. So the Encanto del Caribe premiered on PBS in August, I believe, and we were so fortunate to be able to air it on WLRN TV Channel 17 on August 12th. But it's gone all over. WHYY up in Philly ran it. WQED in San Francisco ran it. And it's still on the PBS system, is it not?
It's still on. Encanto del Caribe is still showing all over the country. And it's amazing because it's a Latin-themed special. And it's the first time that public television in some of these places of the country that don't usually run Latin programming are playing it. And they're playing it over again, which is really a testament to that people are really open and up. People in South Florida have known this for a long time. The wonderful, with the melodies of Latin rhythms, we're all kind of, we're a musical melting pot here in South Florida. And now Encanto del Caribe is showing, these stations are picking it up that normally don't run Latin programming. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. So you write lyrics too.
I write lyrics as well.
Yeah. And those lyrics are featured all throughout your recorded recordings. And you endeavor in a lot of original compositions. So what new areas are you collaborating from?
New areas.
Musically, of course.
Yeah, well, with this special, the idea was we wanted to really celebrate the cultural convergence of the Caribbean. So a lot of the songs were Latin classics, and the other ones that I wrote, we just tried to capture the essence of the Caribbean, of that musical melting pot. I worked a lot with Julio Reyes, who's the producer, and who's amazing. And we're putting together the live show now. The tour, as you mentioned, starts next year. And the musical director is David Cabrera, who's Ricky Martin's musical director. He did musical direction for Sting. And so it's really interesting now as we're taking shows from the songs from the show and making it into the live show, which is a, you know, another animal completely. Mm-hmm. In live theater to celebrate the Caribbean.
Tell me about the tour that starts next month in January.
We're really excited. We're starting in New York and at the Best Buy Theater in Los Angeles. And after that, here in Miami and in Puerto Rico and in Chicago. We're moving the dates back probably a month. We're actually talking about that in the car right now on the way over as to exact dates, because we're doing we're working with AEG, who's a concert promoter, as you know. And they're making it a huge event in Los Angeles. So probably in South Florida, we'll be here in the middle or end of February.
Okay, tell us where.
At the Fillmore.
That's a wonderful room.
I love
that. That's a warm, comfy room.
Yeah, and again, David Cabrera and I were working daily on the live show and translating what you see on the screen with the visuals into a live, you know, celebration of the Caribbean.
Who are you hoping to add to the tour?
We have some great surprises. As you know, everyone's traveling, so it's hard to nail down, but we have some people already confirmed, and it's going to be spectacular, I must say. The guest artists that are going to be on the show with me are really incredible.
Can you give us any advance notice?
Maybe
one or two?
Let's.
Don't want to get you in trouble.
My manager is over there.
Don't want to get you in trouble with a boss.
I just have to say, everyone's going to know who they are, and it's going to be an incredible musical experience.
So what's next for you, Arthur Hanlon? This is a magnificent opportunity for the rest of the country to find out about the wonderful creativity of Arthur Hanlon. And hopefully you'll take this tour international to starting in Mexico, I understand. But what's up for you in the future?
Oh, God. Well, I'm going to Colombia on Monday. Mm-hmm. We're talking about bringing Encanto del Caribe to Colombia. And then I'm going to London over the break to kind of mix business and pleasure, because there's interest over there to see what happened, how did we create this magic that really was created in the Caribbean, in this castle, and to have it being aired over there in Europe. So that's really exciting.
Arthur Hanlon live from Buckingham Palace.
With the timbales and with the congas. That would be interesting.
Arthur Hanlon, our guest today on South Florida Arts Beat. Catch his wonderful PBS special, Encanto del Caribe, and it's available on CD and a DVD package at Amazon, iTunes, and Target. For more information, go to universalmusica.com/Arthur Hanlon, and he's on Facebook at Arthur Hanlon Music. And thank you so much for joining us again, Arthur. All the prosperity to you, my friend. Congratulations.
And thanks so much, really. As I was saying, it's like being in my living room talking to you. It's always so comfortable.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
Gracias. Buenas noches, Puerto Rico.
It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Very good afternoon to you. The Borscht Film Festival and the Adrian Arsch Center present Borscht 8 this Saturday, December 15th. The Miami New Times compared Borscht to Sundance on psychotropic mushrooms, and the Miami Herald called Borscht the most eclectic and electric film festival in South Florida. Details at moviesbro.com. The Rhythm Foundation and Little Haiti Cultural Center host Big Night in Little Haiti every third Friday for a night of Haitian music, art, food, and family fun. The December 21st edition features Mick and Ben in a special night for kids. Details at bignightlittlehaiti.com.
The Free Family Fest at the Adrian Arts Center takes place Saturday, December 15th. The fun starts at 11:30 a.m. with free performances at the Thompson Plaza and family-friendly interactive activities. Then at 1:30 p.m., there's a special performance by Justin Roberts and the Not Ready for Nap Time Players in the Night Concert Hall. Free Family Fest, December 15th at the Adrian Arts Center. First access passes to the free performance are available at arstcenter.org.
It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the show, Bill Nix, Vice President of the Palm Beach County Cultural Council, gives us his arts calendar full of enticing Palm Beach events. Now, our jazz contributor Bob Weinberg previews an exciting season of engaging concerts from the not-for-profit South Florida Jazz, now in its 21st year of presentations.
The Gonzalo Rubel Caba Trio commemorated the South Florida Jazz Organization's 21st anniversary in November with a startling concert at the Miniachi Performing Arts Center in Davie. Known for his richly melodic and deeply introspective music, the Cuban-born pianist delivered two bracingly exploratory sets that seemed to be free-composed, despite the sheet music that he consulted between numbers. Rubel Caba's extraordinary rhythm team of bassist Matt Brewer and drummer Marcus Gilmore responded brilliantly, deftly providing all manner of textural nuance and groove. And yet the trio never sacrificed emotional content on the altar of musical sophistication. The Rubel Caba Trio whetted the appetites of jazz fans for the South Florida Jazz Concert Series, which kicks off in January with jaw-dropping guitarist Stanley Jordan and his trio. SFJ President Ron Weber takes great care in selecting artists for the monthly concerts, eschewing ghost bands and tribute themes, and instead culling some of today's top modern jazz practitioners. He's also recognized jazz as a global phenomenon, proudly pointing out that the SFJ has hosted artists hailing from 28 countries during its 21 seasons. While this upcoming season's participants hew a little closer to home, February's headliner, the Three Cohen Sextet, is helmed by Israeli-born siblings Anat, Avishai, and Yuval Cohen. Anat, a virtuoso clarinetist, is among the wave of talented Israelis who came to the U.S. to pursue their dreams of jazz stardom. She followed in the footsteps of sax-playing older brother Yuval, who has since returned to their native Tel Aviv, and paved the way for trumpet-playing younger brother Avishai. Weber also booked some SFJ favorites this season. Pianist Fred Hirsch will return with his trio in March, and vocalist Kurt Elling will conclude the series in June. Distinctive guitar stylist John Schofield will lead his hollow body band with fellow fusion king Mike Stern in April, and clarion trumpeter and composer Tom Harrell will bring his excellent quintet to the Miniachi in May. We recently caught up with Weber in the WLRN studios to discuss the SFJ's upcoming season and the sometimes mercurial state of jazz in South Florida. Ron Weber, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you, Bob. Nice to be here.
Wonderful to have you again here for another season of South Florida Jazz Concert Series.
Well, we're off and running. I think we just got started, and I think we've got a great season ahead of us.
What an extraordinary show to open with the Gonzalo Rubel Caba Trio.
Well, I thought it was great. It's an artist that lives in our backyard. Most people don't realize that he lives in Broward County, but he doesn't perform locally. And it was a coup, I think, to get him and to have such a great talent to show to our audience that never really gets to see him.
Right, absolutely, because he's living right here in Coral Springs, and yet, he's probably more often seen in Europe than he is here in our backyard, as you point out. But as you said from the stage, I thought this was a very prescient comment, is that although some of the artists you bring in, you may not be able to pat your feet to necessarily what they're playing, but you will be stimulated, you will get something out of it, you will enjoy this music, it's quality music if you put a little something into it yourself.
You can't make people enjoy music, but I think we have to keep our minds open. And because the form or the style is not familiar, or the melody, it doesn't mean that we should reject it, which I think is a knee-jerk reaction. And a lot of this music is, that modern music is complicated and involved and very highly intellectualized, not to the point of not being accessible, but it's not standards, and it's music that takes a bit of thought and is challenging, which makes it fascinating and interesting.
Yeah, and I think that people have come to expect that from South Florida Jazz and the concert series and, of course, the festivals that you've helmed over the years, that there always is going to be something surprising, something startling in the mix, even someone that maybe you've seen many times before, perhaps even have the recordings, and maybe they'll throw you a little bit of a curveball.
I hope for that. I don't want ever to present a show where you can say, well, I've got that record, I know exactly what that sounds like. I want these artists to be evolving and to be showing the state of their craft right now and not feel constrained to play what people are familiar with from years ago.
And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about how you go about putting together a season, the artists that you choose. What plays into your decision process?
It's a very good question. I have never been asked that question. I try to program the series so that it's diverse, it's challenging, it's not so far out that it becomes inaccessible to the base of the jazz listeners and fans in the area. But I always want it to be stimulating. And if there's Latin or Brazilian, it's not necessarily by intent. A lot of it's according to availability, but I want flexibility in presenting artists that are up and coming, those that are established, those that are just doing very interesting new projects. And I think that's been the hallmark of the series, is the music is frequently challenging, but almost always accessible to the majority of the audience.
Absolutely. And I know that you pointed this out in your newsletter, that over the 21 seasons of South Florida Jazz, you've had 28 countries other than outside the U.S. and Puerto Rico represented with the series.
Right. And it's not an attempt to be a United Nations of jazz, but I think it demonstrates that this is world music. And I've been very open to artists from other countries because it's valid. We claim ownership of the music. I think we really rightfully claim the birthright, but not ownership forever. And there are artists from all over the world playing wonderful jazz. And when there are opportunities to showcase them, I like to take advantage of it.
Certainly. And this season coming up, of course, we've got the Three Cohens Sextet. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about them.
Well, I think you and others following modern jazz know that this extraordinary Cohen family of Anat Cohen, who's a clarinetist and saxophonist, her brother Avishai, the trumpet player, who's now playing with the SF Jazz Collective.
San Francisco Jazz Collective, yeah.
And the brother Yuval, a soprano saxophonist, and they all have their independent careers, but they have this family band called the Three Cohens Sextet with an American rhythm section. And you're not going to know these players are other than jazz players. There's no signature sound that you would identify with Israel or the Middle East or any other country. It's jazz, and they're great entertainers and great players.
Yes, and it's extraordinary to me that they grew up and got their training, I guess, outside of Tel Aviv, near Jaffa, and that they were exposed to this American jazz, and that they play it as well as anyone, came here to the U.S. and have really established themselves here.
I think that a lot of Americans are shocked that these kids come over here from Israeli high schools, move right into American conservatories like Berkeley or the New School or Manhattan, and they fit right in, and they're very accomplished at a young age, and they hone their skills under the tutelage of American jazz artists, and they're dynamos.
And it's extraordinary, this season coming up, we've got a few of your old favorites. I know Fred Hirsch is returning, the wonderful Fred Hirsch, the pianist, and he's had an interesting story in recent years. Was in and out of a coma, and then came back and has been doing some extraordinary work with this trio.
Fred is one of my favorites. I've only presented him once before, but I've been a fan of his for years, and I think many people know that he has suffered with HIV/AIDS, and we nearly lost him a couple of years ago. His story is remarkable, but his playing is unique and beautiful. He's one of the great innovators and melodists. And the thing that I love about Fred is that, as lyrical as his playing is, he often stays by the book with hard bop composers. You'll find a lot of his work is Thelonious Monk and Sonny Rollins and the Jazz Masters. And you almost don't associate his style of playing with the work of those players, yes, which is interesting. But he's a great player and a mentor to so many young jazz musicians. I mean, Ethan Iverson, who was here last June with the Bad Plus, He's one of his students. He's a protege of Fred's.
Well, I know a lot of people will be excited about seeing Stanley Jordan once again, the extraordinary virtuoso who invented this marvelous tapping technique, and I know he's coming up in January. And then we've got the John Scofield Hollow Body Band on April 13th, and that sounds like an incredible project as well. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about that.
That's a great concept that Scofield has put together. It's not really the first time. You might remember a famous record he did with Pat Metheny. I can see your house from here.
Yes.
And it's with a similar rhythm section that had Steve Swallow and Bill Stewart, and this band will have Ben Street on bass with Bill Stewart, and Mike Stern is the other guitarist. So I think the chemistry between Sco and Mike Stern will be electric.
Pun intended. Yes. And we close out the season with another South Florida jazz favorite, Kurt Elling, one of the great jazz vocalists of our time.
Maybe I'm guilty of going to the well too often, but he happens to be the best jazz vocalist on the planet, and everything he does is golden, and every record he's done has been nominated for a Grammy, and he's a remarkable talent. So I can't think. I'm not a great fan of vocalists. You probably know that from the programming. But I love what Kurt does because he's not just a singer. He's a talented writer and he's an intellect, and his music is absolutely unique.
Great. Well, Ron, we're looking forward to the season, and thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
The South Florida Jazz Concert Series kicks off in January with the Stanley Jordan Trio at the Miniace PAC in Davie. For more information, please visit southfloridajazz.org or call 954-462-0222. This is Bob Weinberg for South Florida Artspeed.
Bob Weinberg is a writer and editor for Jazz Is Magazine and the online publication Jazz and Blues Florida. You can contact him at bobweinberg@mac.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Artspeed will continue in just a moment.
Tonight on Evening Jazz, it's party time indeed as we welcome back Mike Factor. Mike Factor, WLRN Jazz's sixth man. It's always a blast when Mike regales us with tunes and tales, so I hope you'll join us. Mike Factor returns to the Igloo tonight on Evening Jazz. Showtime is 9:30.
Right now, you're listening to South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN. Good afternoon. The disease of addiction doesn't discriminate based on age or status. Comprehensive addiction treatment and recovery are offered for older adults and baby boomers at Hanley Center. 855-718-2233. Hanley Center, recovery for life.
Handel's Messiah is a centuries-old holiday tradition that culminates in the singular Hallelujah Chorus. Grammy-nominated Seraphic Fire returns in this Miami tradition to present a performance of Handel's ultimate musical masterpiece. With performances December 21 to 23 in Dade, Broward, and Boca Raton, this concert has sold out for 5 years in a row. Tickets at seraphicfire.org or 305-285-9060.
I'm John Labonia, General Manager of WLRN. I would like to thank the nearly 4,000 people, including 1,250 new sustaining members, who supported WLRN during our winter fund drive. Your contributions help make this the best radio station in South Florida. If you didn't have a chance to give, you can still do so at WLRNradio.org. Your end-of-the-year tax-deductible gift will help us pay for the news and entertainment programs you count on in the months to come.
And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar.
And today we welcome back Bill Nix, Vice President of the Palm Beach County Cultural Council. Great to have you back with us, Bill.
It is great to be here. And I tell you, let me just tell you, I was thrilled to be a part of the Seraphic Fire flash mob performance. And it was just great. Up front and personal, my man. It was truly a blessing. So
it was an honor to have you and your wife join us.
Well, thank you. And we are going to see them perform the Handel's Messiah when they come to Palm Beach County. That's going to be Friday, December 22nd at 7:30 at St. Gregory's Episcopal Church in Boca Raton. So, yes, indeedy, they will come up here. And that was a shout out to let everybody know to please come here, Seraphic Fire in Palm Beach County. And I tell you, Ed, it really began a great time over the weekend being in Miami with all the art fairs, and I didn't have a chance to go to Art Basel, but I kind of stayed on the Miami side, went to Art Miami, saw a couple of friends there who were exhibiting, went to Art Africa and LMNT Gallery in the Wynwood District for Black Art in America. It was really just a fabulous, fabulous weekend in Miami. But I tell you, I want to invite everybody, the WLRN listeners, to return the favor, if you will, when all things art turns north in Palm Beach County for the 16th annual Art Palm Beach, which kind of kicks off the art fair season in January. And of course, I'll talk a little bit more about that later. One other thing I just realized, we had a big celebration in Miami last week when the Knight Foundation awarded the People's Choice Award to the Arts Garage.
Congrats.
In Delray Beach.
Yeah.
Thank you very much on behalf of them. We were just blown away at the New World Center when it was announced that Arts Garage had beaten out four other very deserving groups. And it confirmed what we've talked about here, and we already knew that Arts Garage is a very intimate space for all kinds of artistic endeavors. So we want to invite everybody up to experience the Arts Garage. And right now I can tell you the theater at Arts Garage is presenting new works by emerging playwrights in its theater series. And this month until December 30th is a hilarious play by Lauren Gunderson called Exit Pursued by a Bear. Sounds funny. It's a kind of a Thelma and Louise meets Coen Brothers in a Southern fried chicken licking good comedy. I tell you, it's a contemporary Southern comedy that disarms the stereotypes of domestic abuse with wild humor. Set in the North Georgia mountains, and it's really something to see. As the American Theater Magazine says, this play ain't over until the bears are in pursuit. You got to come see what that's all about. But also on Saturday, December 29th, kind of to close out the signature year for Arts Garage, is Dr. Lonnie Smith. Musical genius of
America. Yeah.
He's won all kinds of Critics Award for premier organist and keyboardist. So he will be at the Arts Garage on the 29th. And on your way to the Arts Garage, one other big thing is you will probably see Florida's tallest Christmas tree. And that's on the grounds of the Delray Center for the Arts at Old School Square. And I would wager this, it's the only place in America where you can learn about the history of golf, play a little golf, ride a carousel, ice skate, hear some rhythm and blues, and walk inside a Christmas tree all in one place.
Sounds like fun.
It is, and I'll just leave it at that. You got to come up and see, but it's something for everyone in the family. So, South Florida, you've got to check out Palm Beach County in December, and it's a perfect time for family and friends looking for all kinds of things to do if we're off. And I tell you, one of the best places to start is the Cultural Council's headquarters here at 601 Lake Avenue in Lake Worth, just off 95. And we've got an interesting exhibit and a perfect store for unique, one-of-a-kind gift ideas. But when you walk into our lobby, you'll notice a group of 9-inch figures doing a myriad of different tasks. And it's done in a frieze. And that frieze was created by a New York artist by the name of Tom Artiness back in 1982. In fact, it was commissioned specifically for this Art Deco-type building, and it's said to be worth more than $1 million. Something to see. And if you look very closely, it gets a little bizarre. Men and women working, pushing things, lifting things, stopping to have a little pleasure, fighting, playing games, then working again. It's called the Battle of the Sexes. And it's on display all the time, but we have brought more than 30 works by Tom Artiness that was done during that same period. And these are whimsical characters and great fun to see. And especially, we talk about how it was created. So come see the exhibit. It's the best way to begin your cultural experience in Palm Beach County here at 601 Lake Avenue. And you can also pick up brochures for other things that are happening in the county. And of course, from there, you can head north across the Lake Worth Bridge, kind of turn left onto A1A, and head up to the island of Palm Beach, past Donald Trump and wave at Mar-a-Lago, as you head towards the Flagler Museum. And this is a special time of year when it really has a very genteel, old-time Christmas setting, the way it was back in the early 1900s, complete with tea time at 4 o'clock overlooking the intercoastal waterways, sipping tea. It's a great fun, great food, and also it's a very beautiful setting. And then you can head over to the Society of the Four Arts, also on the island, to continue your tour. There you can walk some beautiful gardens, explore their latest and newest exhibition, and take the children to a special children's museum, an interactive place just for them. Now this December, I would say consider coming for a day trip to West Palm Beach and staying overnight so you won't have to drive back after your evening's over. During the day, we've got you covered with some wonderful photographic art at the Palm Beach Photographic Center and a new exhibition in the 1916 courthouse right around the street called The Forgotten War. And of course, that's about the Second Seminole War. We've got a lot of Seminole history in this area, a unique part of Florida and United States history. And Palm Beach County has a historic contribution to that history that spread all across the country. So it's a great exhibition to come see, interactive. And if it's Thursday, breeze over to the Norton Museum of Art for their Art After Dark, and then head over to City Place for more food and shopping. I tell you, if you're really smart, really, staying overnight right here in Palm Beach County, and then you can check out B.B. King's place in the evening, or go down to Lake Worth and check out the Bamboo Room, or go up and down Clematis Street and check out the whole street as you stroll the waterfront and see a 35-foot sand Christmas tree. No place else but Palm Beach County. And then on your way home, check out the Palm Beach Zoo. Splash around in their little pool, watch the tigers and the jaguars and the bird show, and then catch some lunch on the Amazon River. Beautiful setting there at the zoo, one of the most unique zoos in Florida. And then you can head south, stop by the Boca Museum of Art, and there they have the history of the video game. It's been almost 40 years, and things have really changed. And I know you want to put your hands, Ed, on that Pac-Man again, that Super Mario brother. It's all there. And not only Pac-Man, but the latest man in animation. So bring your friends and your family, and everybody can challenge each other to some great video games. And this is the first museum in the nation to host the Smithsonian American Art Museum's groundbreaking exhibition, The Art of the Video Game. And it's just now coming from an enormously successful presentation in Washington, D.C. So check us out. We're at palmbeachculture.com. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter us to let us know what you think. And remember, it's all here in Palm Beach County, Florida's cultural capital, where culture has found its place in the sun. So we invite everybody up, especially you, Ed. I'm just saying, come on up.
That's Bill Nix, Vice President of the Palm Beach County Cultural Council. Bill always has great suggestions for your consideration. Thanks so much, Bill.
Good talking to you, Ed.
And that's our entertainment calendar for today. If you'd like more information about cultural arts events all throughout Southeast Florida, WLRN has a great website. Please check out WLRN.org for cultural activities this weekend, and you can purchase discount tickets to many regional theaters. Once again, WLRN.org. WLRN is your ticket to the theater and other great cultural activities in Southeast Florida. And if I may add to that long list, the Rhythms of Diversity concert will feature Venus Rising,
Children of Kaumba, and Laura Sue Wolanski, the Silver Nightingale. That concert is tonight at 6 p.m. at the Old Dillard Museum, 1009 Northwest 4th Street in Fort Lauderdale. They'll have music, drumming, and dancing from around the world. And for more information, call 754-322-8828 or go to silvernightingale.com. And students, don't forget, CultureShockMiami.com is your pass to the arts, where students can get ridiculously inexpensive tickets to music, theater, museums, festivals, dance, and more. Events include Actors Playhouse, The Wild Party, Roaring 1920s takes place tomorrow night at the Roxy Theater. That's tonight, actually, at 8 p.m. You can get discount tickets to The Wild Party at the Roxy. And The Golden Sounds of Hollywood is tomorrow night at 8 p.m., and that takes place at the Wertheim Performing Arts Center once again tomorrow. So visit CultureShockMiami.com for more exciting event suggestions, and enjoy the arts in South Florida. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our beautiful website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Bob Weinberg and Bill Nix. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax your event information to us at 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@WLRN.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, of course, Topical Currents with host Joseph Cooper, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend and a great holiday. And as always, please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.